Everybody has an opinion about God, which is why it's good to spend some time getting to know what the Bible says about him. Here's Skip Heitzig.
There is not a person alive or who has ever been alive who has not grappled with the question of God. Does God exist? How can I know it? Everybody at some point deals with it, from children to adults to astute philosophers. And even if they don't believe in God, they want to make films or write books and weigh in on why they don't. It's universal.
Make the connection at the foot of the cross. Study the Word of God and find the way into His love. And take the time to read, for Jesus took the time to bleed for our sins.
The dictionary defines the word biography quite simply as a written account of another person's life. When you want to learn about someone, especially about a historical figure or a celebrity, one of the best ways to do that is by reading their biography. Well, the same is true of God. So today in The Connection, Skip Heitzig begins a new series in which we'll explore the biography of God. We'll begin this new series here in just a moment. But before we get started, here's just one other way you can share the fact that people can get to know God.
The Central American nation of Belize has the second largest offshore reef in the world and most extensive cave system in all of Central America. It also has 127 offshore keys, numerous rivers for rafting and kayaking, wildlife reserves, and of course, miles of gorgeous Caribbean beaches. All of these factors and more draw tourists and thrill-seeking adventurers from all over the globe. But these thrills are short-term. The ultimate joy in life is to know eternal life through Jesus Christ. That is the mission of Lighthouse Christian Radio Broadcasting from San Pedro and also heard in Belize City. It is here that The Connection and other Bible-based programs are bringing hope and truth about the real paradise of heaven.
The Connection has Lighthouse Christian Radio. They have a huge impact on the community out there. Everybody knows who that is, and they give away those free radios where it only tunes into the one radio station, and it's a solar powered. So kids are just dying to get their hands on those.
You can help the ministry of The Connection reach the people of Belize and other nations around the world with a gospel as a member of the Global Connectors. It's just $25 a month to be a member, and when you sign up, we'll also send you a new teaching each month. Help us share the good news of God's love with people all over the world as a member of the Global Connectors. It's just $25 a month, but that small amount may make an eternal difference. Join the Global Connectors today when you call 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org.
Well, it's sure exciting to see what's happening with Global Connectors worldwide now on The Connection. To find out more, log on to our website at connectionradio.org or just call 1-800-922-1888. Now, if you're wondering where exactly one finds a biography of God, well, the answer is quite simple. The Bible. We don't often think of the Bible as God's biography, but it is one of the main ways we can get to know Him, and therefore, it functions quite well as His biography. Stay with us to learn more.
And make the connection.
Open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11, and as we get this new study underway, Skip Heitzig shares a story with us that reveals what God looks like.
I've always loved the story about the kindergarten teacher who gave an assignment to her class, and the assignment was to draw a picture of something that was important to them. So each of the students started drawing. Little Johnny, sitting in the back of the classroom, head down, worked very diligently on his picture. Well, everybody turned in their assignments except Johnny. He was still working feverishly on his drawing, which caused the teacher to be a bit curious, and she said out loud in the class, having everyone else's assignment, "Johnny, what are you drawing?" And without even looking up, Johnny said, "I'm drawing God." And she said, "Well, Johnny, nobody knows what God looks like." And Johnny, without looking up, without missing a beat, said, "Well, they will when I'm through." Now, I have a hunch that the reason we laugh at that is because of the confidence, we would say overconfidence, that Johnny had in thinking he knew exactly what God looked like. If Johnny were an adult and were to have said that, we would call it arrogance. Now, I'm a little hesitant in giving this title to a series, The Biography of God. And I hesitate because I don't want it to sound presumptive like little Johnny. I don't want you to think that, well, I and I alone know what God is like, and now I'm going to finally divulge to the world what that is. That's as far from the truth as is the truth. The truth is, I am a fellow traveler on the same road that you are on. And we have access to the same information, the same documents, but I hope to offer a fresh perspective on God Himself. And this is the biography of God. And what I mean by that is the dictionary definition Webster calls biography with this definition. It's an account of someone's life written by someone else. Well, that's exactly what we have in the pages of Scripture. The authors of the Bible speak freely and write freely about God, about what God wants and doesn't want, and who God is, etc., etc. And by their writings, we have a verbal picture. We have, in essence, a biography of God. Well, we want to examine some basic questions in this next few weeks, several weeks. Does God exist? How do we know God exists? And what is He like? And what about others' belief systems? There's a whole host of different beliefs people have, from atheism to agnosticism to polytheism to deism to pantheism, and there's a few other theisms that we'll probably find and throw in there. And how valid are they, or invalid are they? Another question, why is God invisible to us? He's spirit. We don't see Him. What's up with that? How do we have a personal relationship with a person you never see? Then there's a question about how powerful is God? What can God do? What can't God do? Or what does God choose not to do? Does God know everything? Is God really everywhere? And what about the holy character of God, the holiness of God? What does that mean exactly? And why is that important to us in our daily lives? Those questions and others we want to examine. Now, why am I doing this? Why a series on God Himself? Three reasons I'm doing this. Number one, because it's universal. There is not a person alive or who has ever been alive who has not grappled with the question of God. Does God exist? How can I know it? Everybody at some point deals with it, from children to adults to astute philosophers. And even if they don't believe in God, they want to make films or write books and weigh in on why they don't. It's universal. Second reason I'm doing this series, it's inspirational. There's nothing more elevating to mankind than the study of God Himself. Or for our purposes, let me throw it this way. There's nothing more edifying to the child of God than the study of God Himself. And so we want to do that. I noticed something in the last series we did about heaven. It was a series where, as you remember, we followed what happens to a believer from the moment of death all the way through the eternal state, 17 weeks of dealing with that. And I watched how elevating that was, and comforting and encouraging, because some of you have loved ones who are in heaven, and you were able to, at least for once a week, escape the morass of the earthly, the taxes, the election, the problems, and put your mind on things above, as Paul tells us to do in Colossians. Very edifying. Well, all God-centered teaching and preaching will do that. It elevates us. That's theocentric teaching. That's what we want to do with this series, like heaven. I've seen the other kind of preaching and teaching, anthropocentric, man-centered preaching. You know, it's all about me, it's all about my needs, my marriage, my children, my job, my life. And the Bible has answers to all that, but there's something uniquely elevating about focusing not on me, but on God. It will do something to you. It'll do something to you. The third reason that I'm doing this series It's not only is it universal, not only is it inspirational, but it is, third, consequential. Now think about this. There's far more at stake if you get this wrong than anything else. There's far more at stake if you get the God issue messed up. It can mess up everything. It's far more at stake. There's a name I'm going to throw out. I don't know if you've heard of Mortimer J. Adler. But if you've ever read Encyclopedia Britannica, know that for years, Mortimer J. Adler was the chief editor of that series of books. An astute thinker, philosopher. Well, Mortimer J. Adler was also the co-editor of 55 volumes of what are called the greatest books of the Western world. And in that series of 55 volumes that housed some of the greatest essays and writings of the greatest contributors to Western thought, you know what the longest essay in those 55 volumes is about? God. There's more space devoted to God. The longest essay is about God. And Mortimer J. Adler was asked why. And so he stated simply, because more consequences for life follow from that one issue than any other. And that is true. It is consequential, not just for the person who gets it wrong, but I would say it's consequential for those of us who have it right, for the Christian. For the Christian, it's consequential knowing or not knowing things about God. This is what I mean. I've discovered as a pastor, and I think that this would resonate with my pastoral staff, we get people in the offices week by week, and we are able to counsel with them about life issues. It's a privilege. We count it a privilege. But I've noticed that almost every problem that a person has in their life stems from an inadequate view of God. There's some component where they just don't have it right about the nature and character of who God is. So, for example, if a person says, I'm lonely, it could be that they don't really understand the love of God or the accessibility of God. Or if a person comes in and says, I feel worthless, I feel useless, I feel inadequate, maybe they need a fresh dose of the fatherhood of God who sees his children as not only redeemed but uniquely loved by him. Or, for example, if somebody comes in who's trapped by sin or by worldliness, maybe they've lost sight of the holiness of God or the ultimate knowledge that God knows everything and sees everything. But you can trace almost every problem that a Christian faces from an inadequate view of God. So, the biography of God is what we start this morning. And I'm asking you to turn to Hebrews chapter 11. I trust you brought your Bibles. We want to read a few verses together. Now, I think most of you know about Hebrews 11. You know it's all about what? Faith. That's the subject matter. In fact, Hebrews 11 is called the Hall of Faith or the Hall of Fame of Faith. It's a whole bunch of folks from the past, all of whom had faith in God, walked with God, knew God, and all by that component of faith. So verse 1 is faith described. Verses 2 through 31 is faith exemplified. And then verse 32 through 40 is faith summarized. That's the whole chapter. The question before us is, can God be known? And let's read together the first 6 verses. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he, being dead, still speaks. By faith, Enoch was translated so that he did not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. It's that sixth verse that we want to camp on this morning and unpack for you this morning. Two great realities, two great responsibilities, all in that one verse. The two great realities, God exists and God is personal. And the two great responsibilities to acknowledge that, to come to grips with that, requires faith and pursuit. And I want to explain that. First of all, the obvious first reality, God exists. For notice in verse 6, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. Or you could translate it, that God exists. The most fundamental question of the universe is, does God exist? Because if God doesn't exist, then we populate this planet by chance. There's no design. There's no purpose. If God doesn't exist, then Sigmund Freud was right when he said, God is an infantile illusion that should be discarded. If God doesn't exist, then Ludwig Feuerbach, the philosopher, was right when he said, God is a mere projection of our humanity. If God doesn't exist, then Karl Marx was right when he asserted that the material is all that matters. There is no heaven, there is no hell. If God doesn't exist, then Friedrich Nietzsche, who taught nihilism, was right when he said that our existence is senseless and useless. So if there is no God, and if they're all right, and if we're in this universe all alone, then there's a deeper question. The question is, what's the point? What's the point? If we're not here by design, if there isn't a God, then what's the point of life? Russian novelist Fyodor Dostoevsky said, if there's no God, everything therefore is permitted. And the first thing that is permitted is despair. He's right. That's the logical conclusion if there is no God. Nicolas Cage, great actor, but an empty one, admitted this: I wonder if there's a hole in the soul of my generation. We've inherited the American dream, but where do we take it? Let's turn the page now, or turn the corner. If God does exist, then there's a whole host of questions that follow, like, okay, what's he like? What does he want? What does he require? What does he love? What does he not love? And the great reality is, as we'll discover in the next couple weeks, is God does exist. And the evidence is abundant. It's all around us. In fact, I'll even assert this. If you're an atheist, you have way more faith than I have. It takes more faith to hold that position, given the evidence for God, than to not be an atheist and believe in Christ. So I congratulate you. You're a man or woman of great faith if you're an atheist this morning. I've met a lot of them and talked to a lot of atheists. And sometimes when I speak to an atheist and they say they don't believe in God and I ask them why, some of them are intellectually honest as they grapple with the whole God question. But I found a lot of them haven't done their homework. And I've discovered that a lot of atheists hold the position of atheism for moral reasons, not intellectual reasons. Because if now they're open to the possibility that there's a God, it means there's an accountability to that one. It means I have to stop certain things that I've done or am doing in my life on a moral level, and so I won't even entertain the idea that there is a God for moral reasons, not for intellectual reasons. As someone well put it, an atheist cannot find God for the same reason a thief can't find a policeman. Because he's not looking for him. And I aim to show you that you don't have to look very far to discover God. I want to start on that next week. But even Albert Einstein said, certainly there is a God. Any man who doesn't believe in a cosmic force is a fool, but we could never know him. Now, with all due respect to Albert Einstein, and I know he's not here to defend himself, that's where I part with him. He's a brilliant, or was a brilliant man, far more brilliant than I would ever imagine to be. But I would contend with him on this point. There is a God. He is not a cosmic force. He can be known because he is personal. That brings us to the second great reality. Not only does God exist, but God is personal. Notice how the writer of Hebrews in verse 6 frames it. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Not only does God exist, God can interact with those that he has made. He is able, as a person, to be personal, to love, to care, to reward, as it says, those who diligently seek him. Years ago, I found a book, and I read it, and I have since read it and reread it and reread it. It's so frayed, the cover has fallen off. It's a book I recommend to you called Knowing God. It's by J.I. Packer. Now, I'll admit to you, it was the title that sold me. I remember walking by it in a store and seeing this huge print, Knowing God, and it was as if my heart lunged toward it, because I longed to know God more personally, more intimately. And I've discovered, among even the most astute Christian and active Christian, that there's this vast, unfed hunger to know God personally that lies just beneath the surface of all of our busy churchly activities. We want to know God because we read in the Bible how God walked with Adam, how God spoke to Moses. And we read stuff like that and we go, what about us?
It may seem hard to believe that the creator of the entire universe wants us to get to know him. And yet that's exactly what we'll do in this new series. We'll get to know God. As we explore his story and what it reveals to us about God, we'll get to know him as well, if not better, than we would anyone else from reading their biography. And we'll continue this series next time, but before we go, the occult is having a powerful influence on our world. Just how powerful is its influence? Here's a book that reveals the surprising truth.
Vampires, Wicca, and white magic are everywhere in the media, and not just at Halloween. Really now, is there such a thing as a nice witch? Not according to Steve Russo.
Wicca is a self-styled religion. You might call it a buffet religion where there is no definitive answer to this is Wicca because of it being self-styled. What people do is they take a little bit from Christianity, they take a little bit from Hinduism, Buddhism. They make up their own religion. It is, in its essence, it really comes down to the worship of yourself because you define and design your own deities.
America is being slowly and successfully seduced by the occult, and you need to know how to handle it in your family.
We know as Jesus followers, as those who have made that decision to live their life for and like Jesus, the power we need is in the resurrected Christ. And what's happening is kids are looking and they're not finding reality. They're looking in the church. And that's not to say there aren't those who are living, you know, amazing lives as followers of Christ in the church, but kids aren't connecting with a lot of them.
Steve Russo's book, Fear No Evil, gives a blunt and practical approach to understanding the agenda of evil.
From what I have seen, Wicca is the fastest growing religion among high school students and college students in North America. And we have got kids in the church who are delving into Wicca. And part of that has to do with the whole experiential side of this generation, because this generation is all about experience.
The allure of movements like Wicca and the fascination with the power of witches and vampires is a disturbing trend the church can't ignore. Get informed and learn what you can do when you order Fear No Evil for just $15 by calling 1-800-922-1888 or at connectionradio.org.
Looking around at our culture today reveals there's a growing interest and fascination with things like Wicca and vampires. Hi, this is Skip Heitzig, and I hope you'll take advantage of this month's offer, Fear No Evil, so you can learn more about the truth behind these movements and figures of the occult. Get your copy today by calling 1-800-922-1888.
Well, thanks, Skip. And when you call about ordering the Steve Russo book, don't forget to ask for a copy of this first message of our new series, The Biography of God. It's available for just $6, including shipping. So call today, 1-800-922-1888. or when you visit connectionradio.org. You can also write us at The Connection, P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199.
And make the connection.
Continue with the introduction to our new series, The Biography of God, on our next broadcast. So join us as we'll explore whether or not we can ever truly know God. The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.